From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Andrea Manko is reporting for Porcupine Soup. The Cairo-Durham School Board will hold a public hearing next week on the proposed $32.2 million budget for the 2021-22 school year. The spending plan comes with a 4.45% increase in the tax levy, the maximum allowable under the state tax cap. The proposed plan increases spending by 2.1%, or roughly $699,700 over the current year. The increase is largely due to special education tuition, health insurance, and other contractual obligations, such as pension contributions. Cairo-Durham business official Jeffrey J. Mirello explained that the actual amount district property owners will pay in school taxes will be influenced by the expiration of the GlaxoSmithKline payment in lieu of taxes agreement. Mirello said, and I quote, "For the last two decades, GlaxoSmithKline paid no school taxes. They opted for pilot agreements instead," end quote. GlaxoSmithKline, previously called Stifel Laboratories, negotiated an initial 10-year pilot with the Greene County IDA 20 years ago. A second 10-year agreement was engineered after the company threatened to close the facility in 2009. As the new school year begins July 1st, Mirello said, and I quote, "GlaxoSmithKline will be added to the district's tax rolls and begin paying school taxes like most other property owners. As a result, most property owners within the Cairo-Durham Central School District will see lower tax rates and decreases in their tax bills next year," end quote. A second proposition on the May 18th ballot seeks voter approval to purchase 6 school buses at a cost not to exceed $665,000 for 5 65-passenger buses totaling approximately $609,000 and 1 Chevrolet Suburban for just under $56,000. Cairo-Durham would receive approximately 70% in state aid reimbursement for the vehicle purchases. In addition, 4 Board of Education seats are up for election. 3 of the open seats carry 3-year terms. The 4th is for a 1-year term. The candidate with the 4th highest number of votes will take that seat immediately. 5 candidates are vying for 4 seats. Brian Coletti, Elizabeth Daly, Tonya Fricke, Christopher O'Connell, and Carolyn Miller. The public hearing on the budget will be held at 6 p.m. on Thursday, May 12th, in the high school auditorium. The hearing will be streamed over Zoom as well. Information is available at the district website. The annual school board election and budget vote is May 18th, and you can read the full story at porcupinesoup.com. Aaliyah Schneider is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Galvin Foundation, April 29th, announced its plan to create a hotel at 10-12 North 4th Street and 402-406 Warren Street in Hudson. The foundation acquired the vacant buildings for $1.5 million just days ago. The hotel will be called the Hudson Public, offering 30 rooms as well as ground floor commercial space. Galvin Vice President of Initiatives Dan Kent said the foundation does not know how many storefronts will be included in the commercial space. The Hudson Public will not be exclusively a hotel. It will also serve as a residence for artists performing in Hudson. The space is currently vacant and uninhabitable, Kent said. Richard Cohen, the previous owner, had plans to renovate the building into a hotel for more than 10 years, but decided to sell. Kent expects to seek approval for the foundation plan from the City Planning Board and Historic Preservation Commission and to request a payment in lieu of taxes for the project. Kent said the idea behind the project was a response to a, and I quote, "growing need for centrally located hospitality options resulting from the City of Hudson's short-term rental law," end quote. The establishment will be among the first minority-developed, owned, and operated hospitality venues in the city, according to a statement from the foundation. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. State lawmakers this week advanced a bill out of the State Assembly Correction Committee meant to bolster the rights of family, friends, and volunteers to visit incarcerated people in New York. At the same time, lawmakers are warning against the use of video conferencing as a substitute for in-person face-to-face visitations. Assemblymember David Weperin said, and I quote, "This bill is about protecting families. Families have a right to see one another in person. No child should have to miss school to see his or her parent. Visiting is a fundamental aspect of the rehabilitation process. Studies show that in-person visiting reduces recidivism rates, which is something we can all stand behind," end quote. The measure would codify a visitation program in state law. While the State Department of Correction and Communication Supervision has allowed for people to be visited while incarcerated, the state does not have a formal, legally binding program. Lawmakers supporting the measure cited the benefits of allowing visits, such as boosting good behavior and morale while protecting safety within the facilities in the process. The measure also has the backing of prison reform advocates. And you can read the full story at nystateofpolitics.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.